everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Points on the Board, when politics and sports intersect. And yes, my friends, I am moving this podcast to become one of pure play sports and politics. If there's a sports story with a political bit, you're damn well we're going to talk about it. We are building out our sports franchise teams, as I like to say. We've got our NFL podcast up and going right now. We have our NBA podcast up and going, which is proving to be very, very popular, more popular than we even suspected. But, you know, in a previous incarnation with my fantasy sports company, I helped develop a few personalities. That was never the goal. Sometimes personalities come through regardless. So to see that happening on this end, in this new day and age where we are a personality-driven world, I'm happy to see the Buzzer Beater Boys, the Cisco Kids, doing well. Check out their podcast, Buzzer Beaters. And again, we also have a new NFL podcast that's been going on for a couple of weeks now, called The Blindside Blitz. We have my Red, White, and Rude, where politics is downstream of pop culture. I will have a guest on that show this Friday, Red, White, and Rude, episode 12, in which we talk everything from Gamergate to what's currently happening with the gaming industry and how leftists are trying to control that. They kind of are. But anyway, you can find this podcast, Points on the Board, and the rest at grumblingsmedia.com. You can also find us on YouTube and Rumble, as well as traditional podcast outlets, Apple, Google, Spotify, y Pandora. I'm sure we may be on other podcasts as well. But there you have it. So in this show, you know, it's good. We're going to talk a few topics here. And we will still be talking straight sports news that isn't really traditional sports, but does warrant being talked about. We're going to talk about the NFL Network. We're going to talk about Josh Jacobs and the fans. Travis Kelce likes the MAGA King's picture with his husband, Taylor Swift. I say husband because she's a billionaire and he's merely a multimillionaire. So she wears the pants in the family. Ooh, or some liberal heads exploding there, along with some Kelce fan heads. Boom. And then we're going to end it with EA Sports NHL 24 and what I call election interference through subliminal authoritarian propaganda. Now, I say that in half jest, but this is what the subliminal messaging is meant to do in creating the narrative they're seeking to talk about. And I will go into that. So let's get down to it. First of all, let me grab my notes here. Always show ribbon. No. Show tabs only. I like to have as much room as I can with my notes here. I have a big MS Word file sticking up, and that's how I do my show. Eventually, it's going to change, you know, things of that nature. But anyway, so the NFL Network has endured many layoffs as of late, and their flagship show, Total Access, was canceled. Look, the NFL Total Access show is a show that supposedly recapped NFL news, but it did more than that. It brought in players, did interviews, talked X's and O's, talked about what was happening in the news that day. It was really a great show. I was actually part of it, its first season. In fact, maybe the first episode, but I do know they did cut us out of our first appearance. We were not welcomed by the producers, and that is a sexual abuser, Eric Weinstein, who got fired when he was at one of the independent big times, but had been at the NFL Network at the time I was there in Worm, who was just polite on the surface because he had to be. But neither one of those guys is what I would consider guys who I would trust in the foxhole. Very friendly towards us. Professional at best, friendly at worst, I guess, or maybe professional at worst, friendly at best. I like them. They seem to like me, but they were not very nice or very good people. They abused people who they were below them, in terms from what I saw, as well as they tried to abuse us, which is what ended our relationship. And I've never brought this up to the NFL. I should have at the time, but I did not. But it's nothing to what the sexual escapades. It was more of the unprofessional treatment of what eventually led us to depart, to split ways. Anyway, that's the Total Access. That's how our brief career on that show went. But the NFL Total Access will end this month in May. In fact, I believe May 17th is its final show. It will be replaced by The Insiders, which features Ian Rappaport, Mike Garofalo, and Tom Pelissero. And that's what people want. People want what they deem as inside news. Everything's my sources have said. You know, I remember Mike Florio with NFL Talk. They'd be taking press releases and public info. And our sources have told us, you know, everybody lied about it. He was one of the worst of the lot. But this is what people want. The show should do well. And, you know, networks evolve. You know, people's tastes evolve. In fact, one of their other shows, NFL Network's Good Morning Football, is going to be moving to the West Coast. I wouldn't be shocked if they took over the sets. I mean, come on. A show of three insiders talking information. You don't really need the type of set that Total Access used. But I'm sure that set will be revamped a bit and used for Good Morning Football. Which brings up the question. What will be their flagship show now? You know, every show has a flagship. You know, SportsCenter is ESPN's. You know, Fox doesn't have one because they're not relevant at FS1 yet. But you get my drift. Who knows? Who knows? But the article and the research I did also talked about layoffs. Nearly half a dozen employees from NFL media, other league divisions that were taken out. And in fact, let's see, Melissa Stark, Andrew Siciliano, and Will Selva were let go too. Now, this came out maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, so it's not new news. What is new, though, is that Michael Irvin was also let go over the last couple of days, and that is new news. And he's been part of the NFL Network since 2009 for 15 years, so it's not like he was a recent hire. He's got a lot of blood, sweat, and tears there. And let's be honest, in 2009, what, the NFL Network was 6 years old maybe? About 6 years old at the time. They were still finding their way. And that reminds all of us of what Michael Irvin went through. You know, he was at a Phoenix hotel. A woman accused him of making lewd comments towards her. And that was during the 2023 Super Bowl. And when the NFL Network found out about it, guess what they did? They said, Michael, go home. They didn't even care about learning the truth. And something has to change. Hopefully a good big old court case, big loss for one of these corporations. Because we are innocent until found guilty. And with the fake Me Too movement, it was fake, people. It was a political movement. That's all it was. All you whores who slept with Weinstein, you weren't complaining when you got your part, were you? I'm not condoning what Weinstein did and said, but everybody out of nowhere piled on until young men came up and said, well, this woman, that woman. Then all of a sudden, all these harlots pushing the Me Too movement were all of a sudden, we need to wait for the evidence to come out. We need to wait for the evidence to come out. That's how you knew it was political. It was like fire, 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 fire them. They say cancel now, but it was really fire all these men because a woman would make up. And a lot of the times it came out and turned out to be a lie, and they would let the guy go. Hopefully over the next couple of years, lawsuits will start to spring up off of that. They need to if they haven't, because you don't get fired for that. And this is what was happening to Michael Irvin. And he provided a lot of information that showed more of what he was saying was truthful than what the harlot accusing him was saying and doing. So he settled a defamation lawsuit, which was an accusation of sexual misconduct. And he went back to the NFL Network. But what I don't like about how the NFL Network handled it, you know, when somebody says a perp walk, they front and center in front of all the media, you know, they send the perp, the walker, you know, as he's walking into the police station, walking somewhere, you know, they make sure they work with the media to get that perp walk. Well, that's kind of what happened to Irvin. with literally every network, every analysis, even his own people on his side, or rather at his network. Well, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. They weren't taking a side. They were playing the neutral role. Yeah. Talk about a rush to judgment. So when I think of the NFL Network and the latest layoff of Michael Irvin, that's wrong, brother. You screwed the guy over by helping to destroy his career by not backing somebody who helped build your network, and it turns out he was innocent because you presumed he was guilty. Now, Michael Irvin was not a good guy as a player. Many suspected that a lot of those Cowboy players were coking up, you know, going to the party with whores and things of that nature. And they were. That was my era. And I don't know if it was true, but my sources were telling me, yeah, there were a few of those, you know. And that was at the height when they were in their two Super Bowl wins. So it was a brief period of time. But that's what I was told. I don't know if it's true, but my sources had no reason to lie at the time, you know. It is what it is. But the guy could ball. The guy could play some football. And then he went and became a very heartfelt analyst who told it from the heart and was always unbiased. Irvin really never got into the cancellation, you know, the knocking of Anglos like his contemporaries do, Sharp, Stephen A. Smith, Jemele Hill for more or for worse. Well, she's an outright black supremacist, but Monty Jones and other black supremacists. Irvin was never like that. So I grew to despise Irvin as a player to actually admire him quite a bit as an analyst. You know, because as an analyst, I saw who he was as a person. So why is the NFL Network making all these moves? Look, they say it's a strategic shift. They want to focus on their strategic priorities like international expansion. You know, I really don't see how that's going to work without completely gutting and changing how that league plays its games. You know, flag football growth. And the digital media evolution. Now, the latter two I can see, specifically the flag football for the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl is just too dangerous a game. And eventually I stopped watching the Pro Bowl after I became a young adult. I mean, it was a game that didn't matter. It's a game that it wasn't really a game, just players having fun on the field and just posed no interest to me. In fact, the last time I actually, after becoming a young adult, the only time I ever paid attention to it, I think, was when Brent Jones broke his ankle. You know, I think once that happened, the league was like, okay, we've got to do something here. Got to do something here. You know, now, so that's what they say is a reason. And they're also undergoing cost cuts, which led to the cancellation of NFL Total Access and the letting go of Stark Siciliano and Will Selva. So that, you know, so they're trying to cut costs or cutting shows that are too expensive. This sounds like not a network that is trying to make its yearly annual changes to better itself. It sounds like a network that's about to be sold or taken over by somebody else. And of course, ESPN's going to handle everything from the NFL Network. You know, their programming will be under ESPN's production. And that, if that's not a done deal already, it's close to it. So that's why all these moves are being made versus the comment of ensuring the continued strength of their games and business. Yeah, the only interest they have in their business is making money off of this, and they're kind of either they're tired of handling it, maybe it's a break-even profit, or maybe they just see the natural strengths of an ESPN. The problem with ESPN, though, that the NFL Network will have to worry about is they are woke and racist over there. Everything Anglo, you either bow to the feet of the masters over there if you're Anglo and working for them and jump on the bandwagon, as people like Reddick have done, or you're not going to work there, as Sage Steele found out when she made a comment about Obama that was not allowed because it wasn't an Uber pro on her. Sage Steele being on the teeth of ESPN's leftist views. Instead, she said something that was contradictory. That was a fact. It was a truth. And they suspended her, and she sued. They eventually worked it out. They lost that battle. She won. I wish she hadn't settled. I wish she had gone through it. But man, for some reason, she did. But that's a problem the NFL Network needs to be concerned about, is the quality of their product. ESPN's ratings are nothing now compared to what they used to be, and they are not improving. That's the bad thing here. So that's why they're doing this. And again, before I close out this segment, I had a blast working at the NFL's Total Access in its inception. when I was there, Seth Joyner was the X's and O's, and even though I always knew, hey, these players aren't dumb, you know, the dumb jock stereotype comes in. And he, right to my face, he broke that. Didn't matter what I thought. Here was an X's and O's guys. Again, I knew that. But when you see it and you're talking to some guy, a professional NFL player, and even though we did NFL along with fantasy football, we made our bread and butter through fantasy football. And that's where I was seen as an expert god. I dominated that industry in my era. So being able to talk to Seth Joyner was phenomenal. Then they had Kenny Norton Jr. And the man has a high pitch. Every time we walked in, KFFL, KFFL. And he'd come up to us. And radio is different from television. So we were memorizing all our stuff. And especially how to pronounce names. I remember TJ Houshmandzadeh. You know, I had to learn that one for the show because I'd muck it up everywhere else. But so we're always busy. So we always gave him our 2 cents, but we were just so busy trying to make sure our segment would go well. We weren't TV pros. We were novices. That he just keep on coming. And we loved talking to him. He was a great guy. And he was a great guy because he treated us with respect, admiration, and class in terms of within our industry, we were tops. We were one of the best. You know what they told Kenny Norton Jr. after a few weeks? Kenny, don't talk to those guys. They're distracting you. Stay away from them. How do I know? He told us. And he was upset that they said that, you know? It was like an attack on his manhood, you know? And let's see who else was there. One time the producers got mad at us when Rich – we broke an Oakland story there on the set. And I think the reporter had called us, had just gotten it from the player or the person. And we don't break stories, but we post who we source it from if they want us to. Not everybody did, because sometimes the guys didn't want their parent company to know they were working for us too. So we broke it. I can't remember what it was. I told Rich, and he said, okay, and we thought nothing of it. So we're just sitting there waiting for our segment to come up, and there's Rich right before our segment and goes, well, before we get to the fantasy section, let's let the KFFL guys here have some breaking news. So we did the segment. They never aired that. They came to us, chewed us out, and said, only Rich Eisen breaks news. Oh, man, they were bleepos, you know, the producer and the other guy. Again, polite to us to our face. We know they did not want us there. We were told in so many words. But God bless them. They gave us a shot. And the final note I'll say on this is we were 3 hours away with traffic, 2 hours with no traffic, hour and a half, 2 hours, no traffic. But that's never happening in L.A., especially shooting the show. So the 2.5, the 3 hours that we would spend driving, we would spend practicing our segment for the show. And we were up against RotoWire for that shot. They were 10 minutes away. We got the job. I felt bad for RotoWire. I loved them. Chris Liss, great guy. They had no clue how we ran over here. I've seen some of their interviews over the last couple of years, and our name's been mentioned once or twice. Not much. Just once or twice, I think. I had to deal with Stefania Bell, if I remember correctly. So they had absolutely no clue because what they said was the far furthest from the truth. But I like those guys. Their CEO or owner, Peter Shanky, Chris Liss, those are the only two. Chris was pretty much the only one I ever hung with or talked with or had a long conversation with. Everybody else was that professional courtesy of hello. But I respected those guys. But, man, we owned the player news. We were on the NFL Network. Everything they did, we did better, you know? Including traffic, you know. But their ownership had it more together than I did. I will say that. You know, well, I don't know if they did, but they were able to stick together. At 10 years, I was like, I got to sell this damn company, which I did. And I was happy to do that, you know, but I had a good time on the NFL Network and the Total Access. So moving on, Josh Jacobs shows an NFL and or professional sports players true colors towards fans. And I applaud Josh Jacobs for this. This is not a negative commentary on him. So Josh Jacobs went from the Raiders to the Green Bay Packers for a $48 million 4-year deal. The word on the street is the Raiders did make an offer and they just couldn't match or chose not to match a $48 million deal with the Packers. So he's leaving. Look, most of the time you'll see the political, the PR of thank you there, San Diego, thank you, Las Vegas, thank you, San Francisco, thank you, bum bleep Egypt. You know, I have enjoyed playing for you. They don't care. They probably didn't even write it up. It's their agent's PR person writing it up. So it's one of those foie thank yous, but I guess fans really eat it up, or fans get too close to these players. I don't mean too close as in physically, as in get a life. You know, get a damn life. You know, there are more important things than living your life through an NFL team that only cares about taking your money and will move to the next city at the first drop it can, or its players will, ooh, my glasses here. Or the players will jump ship and just run for the money. And look, it's a business. You know, so Jacobs responded to fans on social media with some, as my research said, strong language. I didn't view it as strong language. He's just being real. He indicated no interest in maintaining good relations with Raider fans after he left. He had no plans to say goodbye and urged fans, hey, brother, move on. You know, formal goodbyes, again, are a common courtesy. He just didn't care. I don't blame him. But he did express discontent with the Raiders and their fan base, and why he didn't make a farewell message. And he made sure to let him know, hey, there's no revenge game here, and the Raiders aren't playing the Packers this year. So his departure does a little bit football here. His departure does open it up for Zamir White. With Jacobs gone, White, some say, is the big winner. He played well in Jacobs' absence. And supposedly that they're confident in him because they have not sought out a major replacement for him. You know, and offensive coordinator Luke Getsky, he is known for having some top rushing offenses. And supposedly, word on the street, a lot can happen between now and training camp, White is supposed to see a significant role in their run-focused offense. And, yes, it will be run-focused because at the end of the day, man, Aiden O'Connell, however you say his name, it's just not an NFL starter. And unless Garner Minshew can on a scale of 1 to 10, I rate him as a 6 as a quarterback, unless he can climb up two rungs to be an 8, they're going to be having a lot of inconsistent play at the position. He's very streaky. When he wins big, but at the worst time, he will have a turnover that will make you hate him. But once again, you know, Jacobs' response to these fans, as those who have seen the images can tell, was straight to the point. You know, again, I don't blame him. Much success to Jacobs. I think he may be on his downward trend just through attrition. It's tough to stay on top of your game as a running back in this league. But then again, the running back is not the cowbell position as it used to be. One day, these will be on the merch rack. We haven't built out our merch rack yet. We're just trying to build a content site right now, but that will come. So goodbye to Josh Jacobs. Hello to Zamir White. We shall see how that pans out. And Raider fans, look, you guys can be very mean, very thuggish towards other fans. So it's not like you're not used to being crapped on by somebody. Y'all do a lot of crapping on others. I mean, that's the history of the Raiders fan, for better or for worse. Raider Nation, you know? And at the end of the day, God bless the Raider fans. They're the ones out there in Las Vegas supporting the team. And maybe I'm reverting to the Oakland fan base too much. And, you know, which brings up, man, these glasses are just literally bugging me today. I apologize. But with the Raider fans, let's think about it. Look, I'm digressing a little bit, but the A's are leaving too. The A's are leaving town too. It's just a matter of time before they go to Vegas. They have their deal done, et cetera, et cetera. So did the Raiders, the Athletics and the Raiders from Oakland to Las Vegas. Look, at the end of the day, you can't have crime rate at 150%. coming out of that stadium, much less Oakland itself. You can't not support the team with sellouts after sellouts when that's needed, and it just didn't work out for Oakland. And I feel bad for Oakland, but I got to be honest, Oakland brings out a lot of this crap on their own, based on the fact of the type of city they are, and high crime. They've had years and years of non-sellouts with both the Raiders and Athletics, and these teams don't care if they're losers. It's like if you don't support them, they're going to look for somewhere else to go. So let us leave that subject, as I'm really beating it with a dead horse, and I really kind of finished it in about 10 minutes at that. So did you hear that? Hear that? Boom, 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 boom. Those are leftist heads exploding. Travis Kelce, the wife of Taylor Swift, liked a Sage Steele Donald Trump pick. Now, first of all, y'all like, oh man, this guy don't like Travis Kelce. Just called him a wife. No. I'm just picking on the male ego here. The male ego is one of the money bringer, Yet Taylor Swift's a billionaire, and poor old Travis Kelce's only a multimillionaire. So, but no, I don't really give a rat's tail about that relationship. It's just fun picking on it because everybody else does. And hey, it's not like they don't ask for it. I mean, she's at every game. She knows the camera's going to be there, yada, yada, yada. They love the PR, is my point. It's a win-win, But despite being crushed and canceled in the past for expressing her opinions that differed from ESPN, Steele values diverse opinions because she was brought up in a diverse family. She's biracial. I was brought up in an extremely diverse family. People like us, we don't look at it as black and white. We know there's various layers, but we also know this. I never cared who my family was black. I never cared who my family was pure white, meaning they were married into the family. I never cared about that. It's family. And that's how I looked at my friends, extended family. Granted, they weren't the same, but you become friends, you expect some trust, some honesty there. And that's how I've always looked at it. So I don't care who Sage Steele likes or doesn't like. I am a Make America Great Again. Why? Because America is a country that is a beacon of hope, the light on the shining hill where you can achieve your expectations, your opportunities, your goals. Where else can a 5'7" Latino who was too small to play the game he loved help pioneer and commercialize the industry of fantasy sports? Yes, I did, and nobody will take that away from me. And to me, that is a direct result of this great country. So back to Kelce. Kelce liked her Instagram post of a picture of her and Donald Trump. So, of course, the leftist heads exploded. They did not like it, But think about this. This was just him liking one picture. This is what I mean by the cancel culture. This is what I mean by what they do to get people fired. Obama got a rodeo clown fired because he wore an Obama mask. Well, not, and I say Obama because it did make it up to him. He knew about it. And they fired the guy. He's never been able to work in that industry. And they told him, you're never going to work in this industry. If he has gotten work, then that's news to me. But here was the lie. Here was the lie that the mainstream media ran with. The rodeo clowns there wore every sitting president's mask. So they created what another race hoax. Because white supremacy is literally non-existent, statistically speaking, especially compared to, oh dear God, it's probably anywhere from 40 to 60% of a black America that says whatever they want because they're told it's not racist, but yet it really is racist. And they know when they say it, it's racist. It's why since 2010 through about 2016, I need to look that up. But there were over 400 race hoaxes. Over 400 race hoaxes in a matter of 6 years. Think about that. And not one of them was convicted of a hate crime, despite the fact they were all hate crimes. So, with Travis Kelce liking this pick, that was on the table. But then again, he's Travis Kelce. All his players and friends love him, so he can get away with it, but the average person can't. So this has to come to an end. We need to go after these companies, the government, and yeah, you libertarians, go bleep yourself. Well, William, that's not my, yeah, we don't live in the world you think libertarianism would work. It won't work. Libertarianism, you have to, they call it a utopia, and it is, because you have to be a perfect human being, and your life is structured like a movie. You're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this when this happens, that happens, this happens, you know? We are in a war right now, and when the Trump administration, if voter fraud doesn't get to them to lose another election, that's right, I've seen voter fraud, man. I was born and raised in Panama. I also am very familiar with Jimmy Carter's blue-collar panel on election integrity and things you shouldn't be doing. Well, in 2020, this guy that he had created, he took it all around the world to make sure elections were held properly and fairly. When he got here and they weren't doing some of the things and were doing some of the things he said you shouldn't do, he threw his book out and said, good enough election for me. Screw Jimmy Carter. Everybody loves him. He was a cuck as a president. Everybody in the world ran us over, specifically Iran and others, and Russia was pressing. The reason we got our hostages back from Iran, because Reagan in so many words said, we are going to bleep you up when I take office. And they knew he meant it. So screw Jimmy Carter and his long gas lines, manufacturing, leaving in droves, going overseas. You know, then him lying about our defense, cutting our defense and wanting to get reelected, saying, I increased defense. Yeah, you increased defense your final year from where you had it before. So the fact that you reduce it to its lowest levels and then increase it by a couple of pennies does not mean you are pro-defense. You know, and Reagan was brilliant, caught him in too many lies. But anyway, this is how I got on voter fraud. I don't know. I forgot. I got it. So much to my anger. My anger got over me that I apologize. But the point is any other person will face cancellation or getting fired over a picture like that. And that's what's sad about our society and disgusting, why we have to strike back with fire. You know, sue the hell out of them. I don't want them fired, but you make sure they get sued with a jury, because you should not be able to get fired because you have a conservative or political view that's different. But yet they're doing that blatantly and openly. Now, here's the thing about how times are changing. Look, there was a massive backlash by the left on this, but here's an ugly truth. There was also a lot of love for it. Sage Steele gets anywhere from a few hundred to about 5,000 likes, unless it's an exceptional one, a special one, and you can view this one as that. Well, she got almost 59,000 likes on this one. So you're seeing the switch. And an ugly truth is a New York Times poll found that 42% of Americans view Trump's presidency as mostly good versus 25% for Dementia Joe. I mean, that man. See, I worked in the Alzheimer's Association, and they drug that guy up before his public appearances, you know, with the pills. You can time it with the hours to wake up. Nothing's a given. He can still wake up the decrepit old racist human being he is. But for the most part, they can time it out and then keep their fingers crossed, you know, and people are starting to see that. And here's something else. Look, Taylor Swift, when she was more of a country singer, she would make certain statements that weren't political, but you could see through them and go, well, she's a conservative. And all that changed, especially when she went to more pop. And that's her PR machine. Taylor, shut up. Yes, you do like the leftist pigs. I'm sorry, I apologize. Leftist swine. You know, and we're going to be more like them. That's all PR to sell. That's a common tactic. You know, every company has to look at the P's and Q's and how they present themselves. But that said, for the record, both of them are cowards, especially Kelce for selling out and telling young people to get the jab. Hell, he didn't need the jab at his age. 99.9% recovery rate, not to mention now the CDC says treat it like the flu. But hell, Big Pharma made its billions. People are in the graves. Even Chris Cuomo, the leftist swine Chris Cuomo, lifting the fake weights. Remember that? Fake weights? Yeah, you know, trying to look muscular. I don't know, maybe the guy's got a small wee-wee or something, the way he talks, you know. But he even said he's having COVID vaccine issues, you know. So this whole nightmare of canceling COVID, the left taking over, is not good. But maybe we see a bright spot out of this Kelce and Steele situation. God bless Sage Steele. She's like me. She's living her life as she wants, and she doesn't care what she says. That's coming from a strong family. I could have a strong family. And we were not perfect. In fact, I just told my dad today on the phone, yeah, Dad, we're dysfunctional. The problem with that family you're mentioning is, and the reason they have so many problems now with their kids, and you don't with us, is we knew we were dysfunctional. It was never any secret. They tried to show the world they were father knows best, leave it to Beaver, and they never sat down and saw their issues. That's how their whole life went. But my point being is strong parenting creates the Sage Steels of the world, not cuck parenting like parents who say, I want to send my kids to have the college experience. When you're a conservative parent and you know what's going to happen to your kid, the problem is you pretend your kid isn't little Johnny and it's the other kid on the street. No, your kid is being turned into little Johnny. And I see it every time they come home. Why? Because you can't stop complaining to me about it. And I have to bite my tongue because you're the one who's at fault. So, the other final comment I will say, look, maybe Kelce just didn't care. He liked Stacey Steele and liked it. Could be as simple as that. But I applaud Kelce for growing a pair, liking a conservative post with Donald Trump in it, and I continue to admire Stacey Steele for doing what is right, not what her culture demands of her. All right. Final topic. EA Sports NHL 24 and election interference. Look, the game NHL 24 has a censorship feature that blocked Team Trump as a team's name. It labeled it as profanity, yet Team Biden is allowed. I wouldn't be shocked if Dementia Joe wasn't allowed. Again, this goes back to what I was talking about, all the cancellation, companies canceling people. This is in a way, hear me out, this is in a way. Election interference. This is subliminal indoctrination where people who it just adds on, yeah, this is why Trump's bad. That's all it is Trump's bad. Trump's bad. That's what this does to a person's psyche. It's a so to me, it's like a mild form of legal election interference. There they pick the side, they want you to think you hate Trump, you're trying to get the narrative built around hate Trump, hate Trump, hate Trump. And it has been. Look, Trump had a black girlfriend. Every civil rights leader wanted their picture taken with him. Rappers would sing about how they wanted to be Trump. Trump was beloved. It all changed once he said he was Republican. Once he said he was Republican, all of a sudden he was a racist. I argue with my libertarian partner about that. I'm like, no, those libertarians, they're racist. They're not make America great again plants like y'all keep lying about. I mean, it's funny. They won't believe anything about Trump, election fraud, the main mainstream media, 95% negative, negative press towards Trump. But it's all about the duopoly with them. And it really bugs me, because it's funny, because I told him, hey, I can track these two guys' whole libertarian careers that you're calling Make America Great Again plants and who are racist in your eyes. Now, they're your guys. You are the party of Ron Paul and the Ron Paul newsletter. So get the bleep off my jock, man. It's a battle I can always destroy him on. And I pride myself. It's not hard to destroy a libertarian. And why? It's a utopian fantasy where they live black and white. But I am what you call a conservatarian because there are certain libertarian beliefs I do ascribe to, But it does not make me libertarian. And that's another false narrative they had. You're libertarian. You just don't know it. No, we're libertarian in the concept. We're not libertarian in the practice because you're never going to be able to practice it. I mean, think about it. Their icon, Ron Paul was a Republican. I view him as a grifter. Justin Amash, the same way, Republican, who's running as a Republican. He's a grifter. They want all the accolades and all the love and being seen as icons from libertarians, but they don't care about enough about you libertarians to vote for you. And yes, it is that black and white. It is that simple. You want to be a libertarian and grow your party? Then run as a libertarian. Anything else is about you and yourself, not the greater cause. But hey, I get it. That's what libertarians say. Hey, we're all about individuality. So, okay, I guess you don't care that Ron Paul and Justin Amash, whoop, bent you over and took care of business, and you left with a smile on your face to this day. You know, so back to EA Sports NHL 24. Some say that Team Trump was not allowed because and was listed as profanity because that's rumping it. No. I have played EA Sports since Sega Genesis in the middle 1990s, in the early 1990s when it first came out. And I stopped playing it about 2005. I used to play it for a work thing, first in the military, because you always have people around, somebody to play with. Then at my sports company, and the kids all loved it, so we played it. And then about 2005, I kind of stopped playing it. And one reason I stopped playing it, I went online and I heard every white person with the N-word, and I heard every black person calling whites derogatory names. That's another reason I got into this battle, this tribalism. Like, everybody's trying to make it all on Anglo. It's not. There's a very deep-seated, indoctrinated hate from black Americans towards whites because of the Democrat Party and the NAACP and other organizations like that, because the data shows otherwise. So instead of cheering the data, instead of working together to become a better nation, instead of working to have better schools so young black men aren't graduating in Democratic-controlled schools, say, out of L.A. with an eighth-grade reading level, or Democrat-controlled schools in Atlanta, to make it worse, led by African-American teachers, aren't lying about test results with the kids failing, but they're passing them so they can get their bonus. They don't care about you, Black America. And my Latinos, para mi Latinos, they're doing the same thing to us. Same thing with whites. But it's never changed for young Black children. There's a reason Ben Carson and Charles Payne walked to schools away from where they live. They want an education. They've made the most of themselves. Herman Cain's another one. And what did the mainstream media do to those people? Called him Uncle Tom's, a very derogatory racist name. Why? Because they were successful and they refused to spout the Democrat plantation talking points. This is nothing but an extension of that. They want you to know nothing or to do nothing with Trump except to believe that he's a man of hate, and he's not. Honestly, most of these kids playing these games, again, I told you what I experienced online from both sides. You know, they just weren't given the beating their parents should have given them. And by beatings, I meant the discipline, not necessarily beatings. It's a metaphor, bleep hoes. And they're going to rue that day, because those kids are going to grow up to be dependent on him, to argue and fight with him because they become indoctrinated at universities. And then even worse, because I have seen this multiple times over and over and over, they're going to hold those grandkids back away from you unless what they dictate to you comes to pass. And their kids are going to do the same to them. It's an ugly chain, and they all deserve one another. So, hat tip. First of all, hat tip to Libs of TikTok who broke this story, and Sports Kita who got a statement from EA. We were made aware of an issue with our language filters, and we have resolved this now within our games. Translation, we were caught doing something that we were hoping would affect and indoctrinate the kids, but would not make it to the mainstream media, and we failed. So we are changing it back. You know, other people try to sit there and say it's a customization again, the profanity or controversial names. They allowed Biden, you know. Trump is the opponent to Biden. That's why I call it election interference. They allow it for one POTUS and not for the other. I will be talking more about this on Red, White, and Rude, episode 12. And that will be taped Friday, May 10th. Actually, I'm going to be in Sacramento Friday. Oh, Lordy, look at that. Just realized I've got to change the dates. I'll be doing that first thing tomorrow morning. But there you have it, my friends. You know, NHL busted for being anti-Trump. Travis Kelce busted for liking the Sage Steele and Donald Trump pick. Josh Jacobs busted for stating truths about how players really look towards fans and thank yous. And the NFL Network busted for making up reasons as to why they're doing all the layoffs and canceling highly priced shows. What? Because they're going to ESPN. Come on, people. And I say all of this in jest in terms of busted, but there's truth to what I said on every one of those points. And with that, my friends, do not forget, you can find this podcast Points on the Board at Grumblings Media, as well as our social media outlets of YouTube, Rumble, and traditional podcasts, i.e. means you don't see the video, you just hear us talk, Spotify, Pandora, Google, and Apple, and others. And we are all under the profile of Grumblings Media. My friends, thank you for listening in. And until next time, this is William Del Pilar with Points on the Board when sports and politics intersect. Until next time, I bid you adieu.